6 seconds left. Halla gets it up top. Marchessault to the right. Big shot! Score! Shane Theodore! Vegas takes the lead 4-3! 2.3 to go! Perron to the circle. He shoots and scores! David Perron wins it! Up top for Kopitar. Feet to the right. Shot! Stopped by Fleury!
Shane Theodore is fourth and a huge hit by McNabb. He leveled Arvidsson. Wow.
Here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side, drop pass, big shot, score! That's John Merrill! Merrill puts Vegas on top, 2-1!
And welcome in to Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a Wednesday. Clayton Hamilton here along with Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman behind the board. We're going to have Dave Gosher, the voice of the television broadcast for the Vegas Golden Knights as well. 2-1, your score last night, fellas. How you feel, Frank?
Well, I feel like, it was a good hard-fought game and a very difficult place to win a game, and they still won the series 2-1 this year, so it's not the end of the world. Guess what? They're going to lose some games. It happens.
Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it. You're not going 82-0. We understand that. But there are some things that over the course of these last two games I'd like to see fixed, one of which being the power play.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the power play clicking a little bit last night. Could not get one across the goal line. There is a couple of roster moves to be announced. Jason Garrison recalled from the American Hockey League. He joined the team today for practice. Tomáš Nosek, who's injured last night on his way back to Las Vegas for examination. But it is time to go to Tampa. Welcome in Dave Gosher from AT&T Sportsnet. Welcome in, Dave.
Hey, guys. How you doing there?
We're doing well. How's things in Tampa?
It's good. It's good. Good day here. Guys had a practice earlier. And, yeah, it's always good to, we're spoiled in Vegas, right? The weather's always good. We were in Nashville. It's snowing, so it's good to get to sunny Florida for sure.
So, Dave, one of the things that I want to talk about is the power play. Obviously, the last two games, you lose back-to-back one-goal games. Over those two games, there were 10 opportunities on the power play, but no conversion. What do you think needs to change there?
Yeah, it's a good question, Ryan. I think, if you look at the Edmonton game, it cost them the game. If they score a power play goal there, they win when they went 0-6. And then I thought it showed some signs of improvement last night. I think one of the areas they're looking to improve is they haven't had enough shots on net. Last night was a little different story. The first couple of power plays, for sure, they probably deserved a little bit of a better fate. So I think they want to try to get to a point where they have the same mentality on their power play that they have 5-on-5, which is to go on the attack, get shots through. Last night, early on, they did that. A little bit later, not so much. I think they had, I didn't look at a final sheet, but I think they had 11 shots on the power play last night. So, steps in the right direction anyways, but it can be such a difference maker for them. I think it's now one power play goal in 10 games, if I'm not mistaken. That's been offset, quite honestly, by their penalty kill. Their penalty kill's been terrific. I don't think they've allowed a goal shorthanded in 9 or 10 games. So, but yeah, it can be, especially in a tight game like last night or the Edmonton game, it can be a difference maker for them on the power play. And unfortunately for them, in both games, that wasn't the case.
Dave, what would you attribute their lack of success to? One of the problems that they had in the power play is getting into the zone and setting up. And they seem to spend a lot of time in the neutral zone and in the defensive zone just trying to get organized. And it just seems odd for a team that's so good 5-on-5 at puck transition and gaining the offensive zone without the man advantage.
Yeah, I think sometimes, too, honestly, Clayton, it can be, you're up a man. Maybe do you take it easy? Do you let your foot off the gas a little bit? Think it's going to be easy coming through the neutral zone? I know now a lot of teams, honestly, really try to pressure up the ice as much as they can and make it difficult for teams to get through the neutral zone and get it set up. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think that's an area they have to maybe be a little bit more creative in terms of coming through center ice. And then once they're in the offensive zone, they have to be in much more of an attack mode. And, I know the results didn't show it last night, and obviously they got shut out. I think it was just for the second time this year, but at least there were some signs of progress. A power play can power play can take away momentum, too. I mean, even if you don't score, you can build momentum. If you get three or four good chances on a power play and don't score, at least it can create momentum for your team. Now, if it goes the other way, you get three or four power plays in a game and you don't do anything with them, it almost gives momentum to the other team. So, you know, that's an area for them that they've been a great five-on-five team all year, as you mentioned, one of the best in the league. But, you know, as they move forward, you know, that's an area that's going to have to be more of a difference maker for them in games.
Last night it did look like there was some improvement on the power play, but in some of the other games, one of the things that we love about this team is how there are no gigantic egos and they play for each other and they play the team concept of the game. Do you think sometimes maybe on the power play they're a little bit too unselfish? And what I mean by that is sometimes the old adage in hockey is just throw the puck at the net and get those bodies in front of there. Sometimes it seems like the guys are looking for somebody else to make that extra pass or this or that, and maybe they pass up opportunities where if they threw it on net, a rebound or something like that, or bouncing off somebody, that might get one of those ugly goals that could get that momentum up. The last power play goal they had was Riley Smith with not even really a shot on goal, bouncing it off the back of Pecorine in the Nashville game.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably something to it, Frank. I mean, there was a couple of games ago, I guess, against Edmonton where, you know, Colin Miller, who has a great shot and can really rip it from the point, passed up a clear shooting attempt to try to make a pass. And I think you're right. I think that's an area that, you have to be a little bit selfish on the power play. And if there's a clear opportunity to let one go, they can create rebounds for you. And, yeah, I think it's an area for them that, and it's funny, guys, you know, where here they are, the number one team in the West, but there's always things to work on, you know, and there's always things to kind of fine-tune as they move forward. And that's an area for them that, yeah, I mean, they have guys. I mean, Miller can let it rip from the point. They have other guys. Shea Theodore has done a nice job this year of being the ability to get shots through from the point. But, yeah, overall, I mean, let's face it. I mean, one power play in 10 games, I mean, that's not what they're looking for. So as they move ahead here, and, you know, hopefully it's as early as tomorrow night, you know, that scenario changes for them.
Dave Gosher joining us from Tampa, play-by-play voice of the Golden Knights on AT&T Sportsnet. We saw that Jason Garrison recalled to the team. He's going to join them in Tampa, was at practice today. Did you get to talk to him, see how he looked out on the ice?
I didn't, to be honest with you, Clayton, but, I mean, you know, he's a veteran guy, right? He's played in the league a long time. I'm sure it could not have been easy for him to go down to the AHL. But that being said, there's an opportunity here, right? I mean, you've got John Merrill that's injured. Do you have a Lucas Fiza that's out long-term? They don't have any extra defensemen on this road trip. So I think that was part of it was, you know, in case something happens over these next three games, you've got somebody that's here that is more than able to play. So, they've been able to kind of withstand some injuries here over the last little while. I mean, Fiza's been injured a fair part of the year, but now Merrill's nicked up. Cody Eakin didn't play last night. I think they're hoping he'll be able to play tomorrow night against the Lightning. But, you know, somebody like Garrison, that a proven guy at this level, played a long time in the league, and, you know, playing and been active and playing with the Wolves here for the first 2-3 months of the year. So, you know, a lot worse guys you could add on the back end in terms of somebody that's established and played a long time at this level.
I mean, it certainly speaks to the depth that you have a guy like Jason Garrison you can call up from the AHL and can be an extra or even play. Now, in saying that, do you expect him to play tomorrow night, and do you have any update on John Merrill? Obviously, he's still just listed as undisclosed.
Yeah, I don't, to be honest with you, Ryan. I don't know if Garrison plays tomorrow night. My guess is probably not. I mean, to be honest with you, I think they walked away from that game last night thinking UC Soros, the goaltender for Nashville, really stole the game. I mean, he was phenomenal for the Predators in net. I think Gerard Gallant would tell you that other than their inability to finish some great chances, and as we talked about their struggles on the power play, they were pretty pleased with how they played last night. You know, that's not an easy building to play in. It reminds me of a bit of Vegas. It's different in that, the energy is very similar, but, you know, there's the whole music scene and the, you know, where the rink is located, the energy in that building is unbelievable. But, you know, that being said, that's a hard place to win. The Golden Knights are trying to sweep the season series there and weren't able to do it. But my point being, I think coaches are hesitant to make changes if they think their team played well. Now, that being said, I would hope that Cody Eakin's able to play tomorrow night. We'll see whether Brendan Leipzig gets himself back in the lineup. But, you know, you walk away from that game last night, and outside of the result, which is obviously what you want, it was a phenomenal game. I thought it was one of the best games of the season. Not the outcome that the Golden Knights were looking for, but, you know, that notwithstanding, you know, they get another good chance tomorrow night against the best team in the league, right? It's number one against number two tomorrow night here.
Yeah, and it's funny because I want to talk about something that you just said. In Gerard Gallant's assessment of last night's game, he did say that he thought this was one of the better games that they've played. And I've noticed a trend where the Golden Knights go on the road, they play a really solid game, but they don't get the outcome that they're looking for. Is it just simply the atmosphere? Is it the building? Is it just coming down to bounces? I mean, what is it about this team where they're playing their best hockey on the road, but they're just not getting rewarded?
Yeah, I mean, they've, you know, it's an area where they've been better here over the last little while. I mean, you think about it, they've lost two games in regulation in their last, 18 games, and they've both been on the road. Now, they lost in St. Louis, where they played well and lost, and they lost last night, where they played well and lost. So I think they've made some strides in the right direction away from home. I mean, you know, it's we all know how phenomenal they've been at T-Mobile. I mean, they're the best home team in the NHL. And early in the year, on the road, they weren't outside of, you know, they won the first couple of games against Dallas and Arizona, but then they went on that road trip late October, early November, where they only won one game. So they've been able to kind of, I think, turn things in a better direction. If you think about right after Christmas, they won in Anaheim, they won in L.A., and then split that two-game trip between St. Louis and Chicago. So I think they've been better on the road. You know, last night's result, again, notwithstanding. And they're going to need to be, guys. Look, I mean, their record at home is beyond belief, but, you know, they're going to have to be able to continue to win games. I mean, tomorrow night's going to be a tough test. Florida, back-to-back games, and they play a Carolina team that's been playing some good hockey here on Sunday. So I think they feel, honestly, fellas, if they play the way they're capable of, and they play with the speed and the pace they're capable of, on most nights, they'll have a pretty good chance to win. Not always going to win, but, you know, they've won the majority of their games this year, and they give themselves a good chance on a nightly basis.
We know that when things are going well that Gerard Gallant doesn't necessarily like to make changes like most coaches don't. But sometimes you do tweak things when things aren't going as well, and that seems to be the situation right now. I thought Ryan Carpenter played a pretty good game last night, a pretty solid game. And I know Steve Carp tweeted out earlier today that in today's practice he was out there with Belmyre and Carrier. Is that a possible line that we might see in Tampa or Florida if maybe Eakin's not ready to go or something else changes?
Yeah, or the other part of that is, too, right, is Nosek, right, the injury with Nosek.
Right, Nosek is what I meant, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You guys mentioned, you know, heading back to get checked out. So, yeah, I could see that. You know, maybe that's maybe that is the fourth line, you know, tomorrow night, you know, for this team. I get it. And in the other area, guys, I think they've – I don't know if they'll switch it up personnel-wise, but if you look at it, they've got to get a little bit more from Holland's line. You know, Holland, Neal, and Perron have been quiet here over the last few games, and – you know, I know through two periods, and again, I didn't look at a final sheet after the game last night, but I know through the first two periods last night, they had two shots total as a line, and both belonged to Neal through 40 minutes last night. So they've relied so much this year on that Carlson line, and we had a graphic last night in our open for our show that you know, that line was put together on October the 24th, and Carlson has led the NHL in goals in that period of time. So they need to have that Holland line contribute a little bit more offensively. Six of the last eight goals they have as a team have come from somebody from that Carlson line. So, you know, hopefully that's the case starting tomorrow. But, yeah, in answer to your question, Ryan, I think, yeah, they, you know, Carpenter's a pretty versatile guy, normally a center, but he is somebody that if they put on that right wing on that fourth line, I think it'd be pretty effective for them.
You know, one final question that I have, and it's not necessarily the Tampa game, but it's looking ahead to the Florida game. There was a lot of storylines, obviously, going into the first time Gerard Gallant coached against Florida earlier in the season. But do you think going to Florida, going back to that building, do you think it's going to be any different, any more emotional or less emotional for Gallant on Friday?
Yeah, you know, I do, Ryan. I think, well, two things. Yeah, the answer is yes. But the other side of that is I don't think I don't think he'll admit to it. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
When they came and played in Vegas, he was so nonchalant about it. Well, it's just another game. And I have all the respect in the world for Gerard Gallant. I really do. But I think it's human nature. If you've been fired by a team and you go back to play against that team, I just think it means more, regardless of what is said or not said. So, yeah, I think it's, hey, look, you know, they took that team, or he took that team, along with Mike Kelly, who's one of his assistant coaches, to a division title. And then the following year, it wasn't going great, and they decided to make a change. And, you know, you can debate back and forth whether it was the right or wrong move. But, you know, that being said, obviously for all of us that care about the Golden Knights, and I think for Gerard Gallant as well, it's worked out as well as it could be so far with him being able to move on and be the coach of this team here. So, but yeah, I think it's whether he's going to stay it or not, sure. And I think for Jonathan Marchessault, he'd fit in that same group. I mean, here's a guy that had 30 goals last year and was left exposed in the expansion draft, and obviously just signed a big contract extension to stay in Vegas for a long time. So yeah, I don't know. Again, the human nature part of it kicks in, and I think that's a significant piece of it, you know, for these guys going back there in a couple of games.
Well, special thanks, Dave Gosher, for joining us, a play-by-play voice, AT&T Sportsnet. Enjoy the rest of your time in Tampa. Enjoy your trip to Miami. Get some of the best Cuban sandwiches in the world down there. Enjoy.
All right, sounds good. I appreciate it, guys. Take care.
Right. Thank you. Dave Gosher, AT&T Sportsnet. And as we sort of reflect on last night, 1-0 victory, a lot of opportunities that the Knights had to be on the right end of that game. If you could boil it down to one thing other than the power play, because we always have the power play, but is there something else that stood out to you about last night?
A really, really hot goalie. I mean, let's just call it what it is. It was UC Saros stealing 2 points.
Well, and then you throw that in, the one time that they did beat him, a defenseman came up and made the big play. So, you know, I mean, it's a and I know that we use the term puck luck and things like that, but they didn't have puck luck last night. 43 shots on goal, 23 of them blocked. That 66 times the puck was thrown at the net, actually more than that when you count the posts and crossbars and everything. They just couldn't beat Saros. He was great, but the one time that they had him beat, it didn't work out for him even.
You alluded to that, and that is our play of the game, the goal that almost was Austin Watson coming up with the play of the game. Play of the game brought to you by Best Mattress. Best service, best solution, best price guaranteed. Austin Watson.
Second try of the power play for the Knights. There's a shot. Marches a rebound loose in front. Save made by Saros. Puck still loose. A scramble. Still no whistle. Bodies piling up. And coming out of there is Marches.
And this is just truly unbelievable. Look at the instincts of Austin Watson. He's a forward. He recognizes the danger. And look at him get back and help out. Puck squeaking through, coming back, and look at him. Left leg, kicks that. He sweeps it out of harm's way. Just unbelievable instincts. Saved a guaranteed goal there.
Austin Watson saving it with his skate, and as you look at that probably being the biggest turning point in the game, guys, you see it sometimes when you go for it on fourth and inches and you don't make it and you say, boy, I'm going to want that one back. That's the one that the Golden Knights looked back at last night.
Well, yeah, if the NHL has the NFL rules and it just has to break the plane, then it hits the line. But the puck's got to be 100% across the net. And when we first saw it, when we were watching it last night at Born and Raised down in Henderson, I was wondering, was his skate just happened to be in the right place because they didn't show the whole replay all the way through. But when you watch it, his leg is deep into the net. He looks down and actually catches the puck coming through Saros' legs that it's going to go across the line and rapidly kicks his leg out and makes that save. Saros had 43 saves. Watson had the biggest save of the game.
Yeah, it was an absolutely phenomenal play, especially when you consider the fact that Austin Watson's a forward, so not necessarily known for great defensive play, but the entire team, the Nashville team, they do focus a lot on team defense and crash and coming back and clearing the front of the net, and in this case, clearing the back of the net. But it was a great play. It really was, and you got to give it to the Nashville Predators. They wanted that win last night. You could tell it was evident in the way that they were playing. They weren't taking too many unnecessary risks. They were trying to shut down the Golden Knights as best they can. And yet the Golden Knights still ended up with 43 shots on goal, throwing everything but the kitchen sink at them. They just in my opinion, got lucky to win the game.
One of the things for folks that are new to hockey that you'll start to realize the more you watch it is just how good these guys are with their feet. We see them practice all the time, stopping pucks with the skate, kicking them up to the stick. That's such an important part of this game that sometimes gets overlooked.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not, you know, it's a product of the NHL over the last 10 years or so, where there's been a lot more hooking and clutching and grabbing and stuff like that. And now, as the NHL's kind of gone away from that or trying to go away with that with the rule changes, you're getting guys that learned how to pick pucks up off of their skates or to deflect pucks with their skates if they were getting hooked or held or whatever it is. So that's an added element that these players today have that players from yesteryear didn't.
And that's one of the reasons, too, why we see so many replays when a puck goes off a skate, when they have to look at it and they do it in super slow motion to see, was it an intentional move or did it just happen to bounce off? Because some of these guys are so good, they look like soccer players or something out there. Could you imagine how many more goals you would have if they did allow, you don't just have to use your stick, you can also kick it in the net. The goal ratio would go way up because these guys are that deft-footed. If you can do it to make a pass or keep it on your own stick, you can certainly do it to make it go towards the goal crease as well. That's why they don't allow them to do that.
And that's a great thing that you brought that up, because to be honest with you, when was the last time you remember a goal being called off because it deflected off of a skate and it was a distinct kicking motion? There haven't been very many, at least not many that I've seen over the last couple of years, and that's because guys have gotten so good at redirecting pucks without moving their feet that they're in essence they're bending the rules just a little bit. But it's still within, so it's a good thing. It's leading to scoring. It's leading to better chances. I think it's a great thing.
They know how now to angle their skate
exactly.
Without using the kicking
mm-hmm.
motion. Yep. So they can, just like they do with their stick when they're deflecting the puck up or down or whatever to beat a goalie, they can now angle their skate and go, oh, no, it was just sitting there. Mm-hmm. And it was like You see them right beforehand. They know what they're doing, some of them. Very deft at that.
No, it's good.
It is. It's one of the fun things that said as you start to become more adept as a hockey viewer that you start to pick up on. And a lot of guys, man, boy, are they talented.
You ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
That's right.
I got in trouble for that tweet last night.
Well, somebody that was certainly trying to not a lot of cheating ever in
no.
In Marc-Andre Fleury's game. And he had himself a whale of a night, stopped 26 of 27 shots, kept the Golden Knights in this game from beginning to end. He is our player of the game. The player of the game is brought to you by Brankus Team Realty, your home sold guaranteed, Marc-Andre Fleury.
Interchanging, Ekholm drives, pivots, right in front for Salamaki. He hit the side of the cage with the backhander. Couldn't get the angle, and Fleury was able to find that puck. Face-off win. Fiala just took it and burst right through that wave of defense. Here comes Craig Smith, barreling in, got the crazy legs going. And he fired it, picked up by Torres. He put it down and got a shot away. But a save made by Fleury. Accelerates, slams on the break, put it into the slot. Save made, rebound, Sissons is stopped on the doorstep by Fleury. Johansson, deep in the corner. Out to the high slot. Smith got it over for Ekholm. A drive, tipped in front, another great screen. Still loose in front, and another stop by Fleury. Here's a pass taken by Subban. He winds. And a drive swallowed up by Fleury.
Marc-Andre Fleury, fantastic last night, although the crowd in Nashville in unison questioned how good he is as a goaltender, but I think they were wrong. Marc-Andre Fleury's a pretty good hockey player.
Do you guys have that? That's my favorite thing that's ever come out of Nashville, is that chant. That's it. That's all I got. Got nothing else.
But every city does it.
Nashville does it better. That's like the only thing that Nashville does better. Although they are the most sour fan base after a win I've ever seen in my entire life.
Hey, I'm going to ask real quick about that, because yep. we saw sour grapes from Nashville in a win last night all
you
over
won.
Twitter.
Yes.
We saw that at Toshiba Plaza from Edmonton fans on Saturday when they won. They were easily the most rowdy, raucous bunch after a win, most ill-behaved that's been down there. What is it about winning and misbehavior?
I think in the case of Edmonton, well, first of all, they haven't done very much winning this year. Second of all, they were just salty because they couldn't actually celebrate with Connor McDavid, even though they wanted to. Because, Connor McDavid is a private person and doesn't want to celebrate with the entire province of Edmonton. But that all being said, I don't know. You win the game. You won the game. Why are you being salty? Why are you mad?
See, I'm taking this as a positive because I think it's the rest of the league finally starting to give the Vegas Golden Knights respect. So they're building up a hatred and an animosity towards them because they're going, hey, we just beat a pretty good team. Nashville lost to us twice. So their fans were salty. We finally got one because our backup goaltender played the game of his life. Although he does have three shutouts this year, he was absolutely on fire. Edmonton, oh yeah, when we're at over at the beer house, people thumping their chests and showing us their jersey. I wanted to go to a break immediately and say, have you seen the standings? It's not scoreboard watching. How about standing watching? It's like they're upset because we're an expansion team and we're kicking all of their butts. So we always said that one of the things they love to come here to Vegas and nobody hates us because we haven't been around that long. Teams are starting to not like us because they don't like to see us beat them.
Yeah, I got the expansion rules were too easy, and it was guaranteed you were going to have a good team. And my response to that is, well, when did anybody prognosticate that we were going to have a good team? Nobody. We were supposed to be bad.
Around January
1st. And now we're not. And now we're not. And now all of a sudden that we're not bad, the rules were too easy, and it was destined to be a great team.
We cheated because the rules were set up to make us succeed.
Yeah, I like that it has progressed from, oh, isn't that cute, you guys won a hockey game, to now they're just all over us when they can get one by us. But
Nashville was brutal.
It was fun.
And not only just Nashville, all the way down to almost Chattanooga from the one tweet that we saw from somebody.
Yeah, getting all over state.
It was a good clap.
It was a good, fun stuff. Fun stuff. Series still 2-1, so we'll take it. Maybe we'll see Nashville again come playoff time. When we come back, we're going to take a quick look around the league, and then we're going to talk about one of the unsung heroes and pioneers, not just in hockey, but in North American pop culture. When we come back right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a Wednesday. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace. Going to take a quick look around the National Hockey League. A couple of newsworthy things happened today. The Columbus Blue Jackets have placed Sonny Milano on injured reserve. He's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks because of a torn oblique muscle. They have recalled Tyler Mott from the AHL, and they have also acclaimed veteran forward Jussi Jokinen off waivers from the LA Kings.
Yeah, have fun with Jokinen. Sonny Milano is just a really cool name, so it's a bummer that's not going to be said on national TV. But then again, the Columbus Blue Jackets don't get on very many national TV games. So
no, they don't. They're not the Pittsburgh Penguins. They don't get to play in all those cool outdoor games or on rivalry night.
Battle for Pennsylvania coming back.
Every Wednesday. let's go to Pittsburgh. Goaltender Matt Murray is going to be away from the Penguins indefinitely following the death of his father, James, on Tuesday.
That's really tough. You got to feel for Matt Murray. Obviously, prayers to him and his family. And he was really gracious after a loss, answered all of our questions, stayed until everybody was satisfied, and very well-spoken young guy, so it's just a bummer to hear that.
Yeah, we knew that there was something personal going on because he was out indefinitely because of personal family issues. Obviously, this is what it was, and like Ryan said, prayers to his family, his loved ones, and everybody else out there because know what it's like to lose a father and a mother, and it's certainly never a good time, so wish him all the best, and obviously he needs to get back when he's ready to come back.
Mm-hmm. And on the flip side, the Penguins, for the first time in a long time, starting to play well again.
Yeah, they are definitely making a playoff run right now and showing that maybe they will not be eliminated on April the 1st.
And finally, L.A. Kings forward Jeff Carter skated on a Tuesday. It was his first time on the ice since sustaining a lacerated ankle tendon during a game on October 18th.
Well, you couldn't play with a lacerated ankle tendon? I mean, look what Carlson played with last year. Broken. No, I mean, these guys are unbelievably tough. I mean, when we were talking to Pierre-Edouard Belmiro down at the Fan Fest and asked him about the eye, and he said, oh, well, you know, he was actually upset because he had to go down to the locker room for 10 minutes and he missed a shift or two. So these guys want to get out there. They do everything they can. So when you see injuries in hockey, unlike some of the other sports out there, they're genuinely legit unless they're just trying to hide somebody on an IR or something.
Yeah,
which does happen.
It does happen. Are you saying that there's bending of the rules?
I'm saying that some coaches, Lavalette did it last night with Nashville. You see Saros, they're on their bye week. Well, we'll send you down to the AHL because we're allowed to do that. The goalie that was incredibly hot last night played two or three games during the bye week. he wasn't rusty at all. He was ready to go, and it showed. And then when they had the one of the faceoffs, when they had an icing, and he was calling the timeout and doing stuff, he tried to change up the lines on the ice. You know, it's I know I jokingly said it before, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. That's an old moniker in hockey and in other sports as well, because people do try to do that kind of stuff. If you can get away with it and pull the wool over the eyes and give your team an advantage, you know what? It's up to the referees to keep everything going and know what's going on.
And although Laviolette didn't win by getting to keep or put new players out on the ice, he certainly won because of the lengthy delay that it took to sort it all out.
Yeah, there was no tired players anymore. They between the timeout and then the time of trying to figure out who was going to be out there, it was about three or four times longer than a normal timeout.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to have a very special ceremony tonight in Boston to honor one of their own, and it begs the question, Frank, when is a Hall of Famer not defined by their work on the ice, and what do you do with a player that means a lot but has some slim stats?
Well, and certainly the gentleman who's going to be honored tonight, when you look at his career stats, okay, here they are. Two seasons in the NHL. And by two seasons, I mean a total of 45 games played. 4 goals, 10 assists for 14 points. Not exactly lighting it up when it comes to that. However, when you are essentially, in some people's minds, the Jackie Robinson of your league, that is a special consideration. And that is exactly what Willie O'Ree is. One of the things, and we've talked about this before, Willie O'Ree, 60 years ago tomorrow, was when he made his NHL debut, and probably, in fact, I would say most definitely a lot better known today than he was back then. He's been quoted as saying that he didn't even realize that he was the first African-American to be playing in the NHL. It wasn't that big a deal to him. But nowadays, when you look back on it, he indeed was. He didn't have a lengthy career in the NHL. He played in the minors for several seasons and a lot of hockey and but he is an icon, and we hear several players today saying how he was one of the role models that they were looking up to. How Willie O'Ree is not in the Hall of Fame when he's better known than probably half the guys that are in the Hall of Fame, except for diehard hockey fans out there, it's actually kind of a head-scratcher to me. I think most people just assume that he is, and he's not.
Mm-hmm. You would certainly think that what he has meant to not just the National Hockey League, but to youth hockey, to collegiate hockey, to hockey around North America. He is from Canada, but has done a significant amount of work down here in the United States, now 81 years old. He is currently going across the country promoting sports in minority communities. And he was one of those guys that was so fearful of getting his chance that he tried to be as adaptable as possible. He got hit in the face with a puck and lost 95% of the vision in his right eye, and he went through his entire playing career with only his sister and his best friend knowing.
And by the way, when I tell you about that he played 2 years in the NHL, his hockey career spans much longer than that. Actually started out with the Fredrickson Falcons in the 50-51 season, wrapped up his professional hockey career in the 78-79 season with the San Diego Hawks. So this guy played hockey professionally for about 30 years. So don't just look at the NHL stats. But again, you have to look at the big picture. Willie O'Ree should be in the Hall of Fame. And most of the time, we only hear his name when Martin Luther King Day is coming up, which it just, of course, passed. Mm-hmm. Or maybe one of the days it'll be one of the ESPN segments or somebody else for Black History Month. Mm-hmm. And then people forget him again. The guy belongs in the Hall of Fame. You know what? Let's not wait till he passes away to put him
right
in there. Get him in there now.
Yeah, celebrate him while he is still with us. And he works with the youth development for the NHL USA Hockey Diversity Task Force. And I get and understand that the NHL career was brief. But it is the Hockey Hall of Fame. It is not the NHL Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
It's like in the NBA. It is the basketball, the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame. It is the Basketball Hall of Fame. It is not the NBA Hall of Fame. That's why we see players from the WNBA get in. We see players from Europe that get in. It is it is different than the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, which is four players of Major League Baseball.
And even that has expanded to the Negro League and the Women's League. So that can still expand.
And they have contributors categories in the Baseball Hall of Fame as well as basketball, where journalists, officials, people that are considered builders, whether they be owners, executives, people that were important to the growth of the sport, and how you can trot out Willie O'Ree when you need him for a Hockey is for Everybody PR photo, or how you can have an event. Oh, well, this is the 60th anniversary, so we'll celebrate him today, even though we probably didn't on the 59th or the 58th, or we might not on the 61st. Here is a guy that is deserving of all of the accolades and is deserving of being recognized in the Hall of Fame forever.
What I would like to see the NHL do, and they're not going to do it because Gary Bettman doesn't listen to the show, at least not that I know of. I would love to see them do the ceremony today, and then in about a week and a half, 2 weeks, whatever it is with their All-Star game, have him down there again as January's wrapping up and leading into Black History Month. Have him drop a ceremonial first puck at the All-Star game and then make the announcement, by the way, this year's NHL Hall of Fame induction will include Willie O'Ree.
Mm-hmm.
They have an opportunity. The iron is hot now. He's still alive, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything is set. The guy belongs in the Hockey Hall of Fame. Like you said, that's what it is, the Hockey Hall of Fame. Remember before the season started when we were at the developmental camp and we were talking to Pokey Reese, or Pokey Redick, excuse me. And Pokey Reese, obviously a baseball player.
Right.
Pokey Redick, the former goalie in the NHL. What was the name that he threw out there? Willie O'Ree. Mm-hmm. You hear guys like P.K. Subban, Wayne Simmonds, a lot of the players in the game today. That it's a name that they all know. I don't think he even realizes the impact that he's had on the NHL and hockey in general. But he is one of the reasons. And who knows, without a Willie O'Ree, maybe it doesn't even open up to all the Russian players and Swedes and everything else, the international part of the game. He opened the doors for expansion and a different look in a time when it wasn't an easy thing to do. Did he go through everything Jackie Robinson did? Not that I know of. But when you hear some of the stuff that he said and the things that were said to him, there was also a lot of prejudice against him. And not just in the NHL, in the other leagues as well. You've had the chance for 60 years. You haven't done it. Make it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Do it this year. Make the announcement at the All-Star Game that Willie O'Ree is going into the Hall of Fame. The guy deserves it. The fan base wants it. And the climate right now, we need some feel-good stories out there because this is a tumultuous time in the United States, in the world.
Mm-hmm. When you think about what he did, and you mentioned those players from Europe, you think about somebody like Scotty Gomez or Manny Fernandez being able to be successful and break into the league. When he first came in, it was 16 years it took before Mike Marson became the first African-American or African-Canadian player drafted by the Washington Capitals in 1974. So it was seeing him and knowing that, okay, I can pick up some skates and I can pick up a stick and I can be a part of this, and that needs to be honored and recognized.
Yeah, O'Ree also mentioned that during his playing days that the racist remarks were much worse in the U.S. cities than they were in Toronto and Montreal. Remember, we didn't have all the teams we have now. Those were the two Canadians. He said that people would say all sorts of stuff, saying, go back to the South. How come you're not picking cotton? These are things that fans would shout at him. He said it never bothered him. He just wanted to be a hockey player. And if they couldn't accept that fact, that was their problem, not his. Could you imagine being a young man, having that kind of stuff shouted at you? And I'm sure there was profanities and other things all over the place as well. And he's just looking and yet mature enough and everything to go, you know what? The hell with you guys, essentially. I'm doing what I want to do. I love it. I'm living my life. Again, 2 years in the NHL, and not a lot of games, only 45 games total, but a 30-year career. Obviously, this guy loved playing the game of hockey.
Mm-hmm. And when you think about maybe some of those guys wanting to take a run at him and to keep his head on a swivel with all the things that were going on in the stands, all the things coming at him at the ice, and he was blind in one eye, to be able to concentrate on all of those things, a truly remarkable individual. He has been asked about his not being included in the Hockey Hall of Fame, and gracious as always, Frank, he responded, "I kind of understand why I'm not in the Hockey Hall of Fame. I didn't play enough, and there are other guys who played longer and had distinguished careers. It would be nice, but you never know, it could change." And what a gracious human being.
By the way, at least one team has done right by him. The San Diego Gulls have retired his number.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, Willie O'Ree, I hope you enjoy the ceremony tonight in Boston against the Montreal Canadiens, and we are rooting for you and 100% behind, that's right, you getting in the Hockey Hall of Fame. When we come back, we're going to shift gears to some music and entertainment. We're going to hear at the All-Star Game. This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for hockey in Las Vegas. And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a Wednesday. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish, listening to multi-platinum-selling singer-songwriter Kid Rock, who was announced will headline the 2018 Honda NHL All-Star Game in Tampa on Sunday, January 28th. A portion of the second intermission presented by Ticketmaster will feature Kid Rock on the televised portion of the broadcast.
You know what? I'm fine with that. I've seen Kid Rock in concert.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he puts on a good show. I don't go to a hockey game for a concert. I don't go to a football game or a baseball game or basketball game or anything else for a concert. But the only thing I don't like about him is they tend to draw everything out too much. But I know some people, you know, like, oh, can't wait for the halftime show of the Super Bowl. I couldn't care less.
Yeah, I like a good halftime show. I'm okay with Kid Rock. It's better than last year was the Arkles, who I'd never heard of. Wasn't really my demographic.
Were they from Canada?
Yeah, they were. But now they're down in Tampa. It's a little,
because when you say Tampa Bay, you immediately think of Kid Rock.
Well, do you think? How would you classify him? Is he Southern country rock?
He was rock. Now he's country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you're doing duets with Sheryl Crow and stuff like that, I mean, not that Sheryl Crow's country, but Martina McBride and other people like that, and you're always on Crossroads on CMT or something, I think he's really going over to country.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion of it.
His tour is called American Rock and Roll Tour 2018.
Because American Country Tour 2018 wouldn't sell as well, because he's not really considered a country artist by a lot of the country fans.
Okay. He does have a song called Cowboy.
He does have Cowboy, which was that's when he was still actually a rocker.
Picture All Summer Long.
Picture, that's a duet that he does.
Ball with a ball. Dag a dag diggy doggy. Is that how it goes?
Diggy diggy diggy. Upset the
diggy diggy diggy,
yeah,
right?
So. Yeah, so. According to this list here, his top 10 songs are Amen, Only God Knows Why, I Am the Bull God, which Chris just played for you. Mm-hmm. Lonely Road of Faith, Born Free, Cowboy, American Badass, Picture, Ba Wada Ba, and his number one song, according to this list, All Summer Long. Lists are subjective to interpretation.
If you don't like the Kid Rock, additional Honda NHL All-Star Weekend performers will be announced in the coming days, so perhaps you get something better.
I actually think Kid Rock is a better choice than the jerseys that they have for the game.
Yeah, absolutely. It won't be as good, though. Remember when at the NBA All-Star Game when Shaq came out with the Jabberwockies? That was pretty good.
I kind of remember it. Don't care, though.
Yeah? Not a big Shaq the Dancer fan?
I'm just
fan?
Not a halftime fan. Show.
Well, this was pregame.
Intermission,
this
was like, pregame, this, any of it.
All right, well.
Means nothing to me.
Yeah? You know what does mean something to me? T.C. Martin.
Yeah.
The Doctor. He's next.
You need a good doctor.
I do.